I'm Sam Dingman, co-host of KJZZ's The Show. Last year, I did this series of profiles we called The Analogs, stories about people who make things by hand and what those things tell us about those people. My reasons for telling these stories will become clear as the series progresses. So for now, here's episode one, Fixin' is Fun.
Put a typewriter in with my casket in the grave.
I needed an escape.
I love being able to manipulate the machine with my body instead of just pressing a button.
Every time we lose one of those parts, it's gone for good, basically.
I just think of myself as someone who makes things.
The first person I want to tell you about is Dwayne Jensen. Dwayne Jensen fixes typewriters.
You got out of the way.
Dwayne works in his garage, next to his car, which is covered in Rush stickers, the band, not the shock jock. He's got a workbench packed with tools, fine metal prods, calipers, tiny screwdrivers, and a magnifying glass. Behind him, and on shelves that stretch from one end of the room to the other, are typewriters, some of them over 100 years old. There are a handful of electric typewriters, but most of Dwayne's typewriters are manual. You feed paper into them with a hand-rolled crank, and when you press down on a key, a hinge triggers a metal bar with a letter carved into its tip. The letter thwacks against a ribbon that is pressed against the paper, and where there was once only blank space, now there's the beginning of a word. Maybe it will become a love letter, or a poem, or a novel. Dwayne finds none of that romantic.
I'm just not in that category of writers, you know, where I just want to hold my typewriter against me and go to bed with it or something. But I'll fix your typewriter and make these people very happy, you know, and yeah, so that's fun.
Dwayne started fixing typewriters because he lost his job at a hardware store. It was the early 1980s, and he was a teenager living in his first apartment.
My mom died, and my semi-abusive father moved back to the house. We were incompatible, so I left before I was 17.
He spent some time living out of his car or with friends from the neighborhood, and eventually he found his own place.
Gotten set up in the trailer park at $50 a week. A little trailer, a little trailer for a 6'6" guy. My head hit the top of this trailer. I mean, I think I was hunched down the whole time. Yeah. But it was my place. Felt very great. Everything was fresh and new and on my own, and that was just the beginning of it.
Dwayne had been looking for a new job, but he didn't have a phone in his trailer. So he'd been giving potential employers the number of a payphone across the street outside a laundromat. Every day, he would wake up early, sit by the window, and wait for the payphone to ring. One day, at about 6:30 a.m., it did.
So the phone rings and you just sprint across
the
street?
Sprint across it, and it's them, and they want to do an interview. So we set that up, and that was it. I went there and got the job within a day.
The job was at an office supply company called Dick's Supply. Part of the job at Dick's was fixing office supplies, like electric typewriters. And Dwayne knew his way around a circuit board. He'd taken an electronics class in high school. Thing is, electric typewriters were still relatively new back then, so they didn't break very often. So during their downtime at Dick's, some of the older guys started teaching Dwayne how to fix manual typewriters. After a few years, Dwayne switched to a different company with a bit more of a traditional corporate culture, and they sent him to a training school for typewriter fixing lessons.
And so that was fun, because half the time I knew the machine better than the instructor did. I just felt comfortable fixing this stuff, confident right away.
Eventually, typewriters gave way to computers, and the company didn't need guys like Dwayne to fix them anymore. But Dwayne wasn't ready to shake that feeling of comfort and confidence. So he opened up his own typewriter repair shop. Sometimes there wasn't much work, but Dwayne still showed up at the shop every morning and stayed there all day from 8 to 5, even if all he did was look up old typewriter models on the internet and listen to Rush.
I just kept it going, idling kind of, and kept the day shop open and worked a night job for 10 years.
Wow. So what was the night job?
Pizza delivery.
After a full shift at the typewriter shop, Dwayne would deliver pizzas until around midnight. But that wasn't the end of his day.
You know, I'd go to the casino till 1 in the morning, come home by 2, in bed, up at 7, back to the shop at 8.
Dwayne's bosses at the pizza shop were impressed with his work ethic. They offered him a job as a manager, but he turned it down.
They never raised my minimum wage, even though I was there 10 years.
Jesus.
And at one point I says, you can give me a dime more than the other drivers that you're just hiring. I never make mistakes. I never ruin a food order. I'm much more efficient. That's all you're going to get. A couple times I should have left, but I didn't.
Did you find you were putting a lot of the money you got at the pizza place into the typewriter business?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a supplement for that. That's why I started working more hours there and everything.
To keep this going.
Yep. Uh-huh. It was that, yep.
Dwayne says that in the first few years he had his typewriter shop, he probably repaired about 50 manual typewriters. But around 2008, something changed. His phone started ringing off the hook. Parents were calling to say that their daughters wanted typewriters for Christmas. Could they bring in an old one for Dwayne to fix up? Or did he have any for sale?
So I asked him, I said, why are you interested? And she watched this movie called Kit Kittredge.
The first theatrical motion picture based on the American Girl books.
Dear Dad, here at home, things are hopping. The house is chock full of boarders, which keeps us pretty busy. There's the dance instructor.
She's using a typewriter. That's why they wanted it. That's why the little girl wanted it. So then it couldn't have been a week later, another call, another girl and her parents call. And the same thing. They saw the same movie, Kit Kittredge.
The first winter this happened, Dwayne sold 10 typewriters in a month, then 20, then 30. And the boom continued. Tom Hanks became a typewriter evangelist. Taylor Swift featured one in a music video. By 2022, Dwayne was having his biggest year yet. And to this day, business is still brisk. The day I visited his garage, Dwayne had 300 typewriters on display, many of which were already marked as sold. He estimates he is one of about 30 people in the U.S. who still work on manual typewriters.
Working 80 hours a week. In the heat.
Yeah.
Almost killed me.
I can imagine. I mean, we're sitting out here. It's like 100 degrees in here.
Already.
And I know you're hooked up to an oxygen machine here.
Yeah.
Does that make it difficult?
No, well, yeah, mobility, and I have COPD, so I have trouble breathing. That came about 7 years ago. So this business was part of the factor I have COPD, because I had a shop 20 years ago without ventilation, and the lack of thinner fumes deteriorated my lungs. I did chemical burns. That's why my lungs are not working.
Wait, so your lungs were damaged by doing the typewriter work?
They're not. Yeah, so I guess it's me now. Put a typewriter in with my casket in the grave would be fine with me. And a Rush album, maybe.
The Analogs is a production of The Show on KJZZ 91.5 in Phoenix, Arizona. This episode was produced, written, and edited by me, Sam Dingman, with additional production by Amber Victoria Singer. The show's executive producer is Amy Silverman. Special thanks to Dwayne Jensen for inviting me into his garage, and to you for listening. Next time, we'll meet a woman named Tamara who was stuck in a destructive loop.
I actually went through life, most of my life, paranoid that people could read the thoughts in my head. That led me to a life of, you know, repressing and pushing away all those thoughts and feelings, saying if I adhere to this expectation of what society thinks I should be, this perfect man and husband and father and all of that, that those thoughts will go away.
So Tamara decided she was going to write her way out of the spiral. She started journaling, and that gave her an idea.
I'm like, well, I want to make a pen for me. I think there's some meaning here, like this personal connection that I found. I'm like, okay, this is mine and no one else has it, and these are my thoughts going through it.
That's next time on The Analogs.